question was asked, do we know, do we identify, do we define there as being a relationship between self-affirmation and prayer? So I want to begin with a Hasidic story. And even though I will not agree with a certain component of the Hasidic story, I definitely think there's a lot of weight to the story. There's a lot of importance to the message that the story carries. The story goes that there were two Hasidim who didn't have children. And every year they would go and visit the Rebbe. And every year in their route to the Rebbe, they would stop at a certain inn. And they'd sleep over the night at the inn. And then they'd finish their journey to the Rebbe. So every year, same time of year, the two Hasidim would make their travels, stop at the inn, and then the next morning continue their journey, go to the Rebbe, come back, very happy, they got their blessing from the Rebbe, and go home. So after years of doing this, one year the innkeeper, also a Jew, says to them, you know, you guys have been coming to my inn every year, going to the Rebbe, to get your blessing and coming back. What are you guys going for? What's going on? They say, well, we want to go. We want to get a blessing from the Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe is a very holy person. The Rebbe is a very pious person. The Rebbe davens on our behalf. So we go to him to get a blessing. So the innkeeper says to his wife, I want to go with them this year. The wife says, what do you mean? He says, well, we don't have children. Let's go ask the Rebbe for a blessing. So we'll go to the Rebbe. So fine. He packs his bags. He goes with the Hasidim. He goes with them to the Rebbe. He comes back home. Next year, the two Hasidim, who have been going for years to ask the Rebbe to pray on their behalf to have a baby, they come to the inn, where there was no baby a year before. For years, there was no baby. They come to the inn, and they see a baby. The innkeeper has a baby. So the innkeeper says, I don't know how to thank you. You guys brought me to the Rebbe, and look, his blessing came true. I have a baby. The Hasidim put on smiles on their face and they say, it's wonderful. You should be blessed. You should have a lot of nachas. They don't spend the night. They continue their journey straight to the Rebbe. They storm him. He comes in and they say, Rebbe, we don't understand. We've been coming for years for blessings. For years. Neither one of us has a kid. This innkeeper comes once and now he already has a kid. What's going on? So the Rebbe says, when you guys would depart from one another at the end of your journey, you'd wish one another, see you next year on the journey to the Rebbe to get a blessing for a kid. The innkeeper came back home after he got my blessing. He told his wife, let's go get a baby carriage. Let's go get a crib. We got to get ready. The Rebbe blessed us. We're going to have a kid, right? He said, that's the difference. That's an illustration of the concept you said, self-affirmation. I've decided this is going to work. I start visualizing how it's going to work. Now, whether it was the Rebbe's blessing or his self-affirmation that worked is a good question. But I'm saying the concept that the Rebbe was telling them, he's saying, you know, he decided it would work. And I can tell you in my own life, I used to sit at the bachelor's table in yeshiva, right? So one time I came to the table and I asked the guys, I said, can any of you recommend a band? Can any of you recommend a hall? Can any of you... They said, you're getting engaged? I said, I haven't met the right girl yet. They said, are you dating someone seriously? I said, not yet. They said, then why do you want to know about a hall and a band? And I told them the story of the Rebbe. This story I just told you. And I said, I decided that I have to get into the mindset that I'm getting married soon. And so I want to know what halls you recommend, what bands, what teachers. I got to get ready. I got to get ready emotionally, psychologically. And Bezrat Hashem, in under a year, I got married. I don't know if it was 2 months, 4 months, 6 months till I met my wife. Me? Yeah, I'm telling you a story about myself. So there's definitely this powerful tool where a person can visualize where they'd like to go, and that helps them get in that direction. There's this series, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amazing series. I'm a big fan. So at one point, we buy our books secondhand. Like through Amazon, you get secondhand for $1 a book, $2 a book, right? You get them really cheap. What do I care if I'm reading someone's old Chicken Soup series? I don't care. So once upon a time, you could bring back in your luggage 70 pounds in each suitcase. That was before the gasoline prices shot up. And now even though the gasoline prices shot down, they didn't bring back the 70-pound suitcases. So... So in those days, whenever I visit my parents in the States, I'd come back with a suitcase filled with goodies, among them used books that my wife and I like to read, like the Chicken Soup series. So one of the Chicken Soup series is Making Your Dreams Come True, something like that, Turning Dreams into Reality, some title like that. And in the intro to the book, they write that when they began this, they have a series about dreams turning into reality. They wrote this self-help book on how to turn your dreams into reality. And they said, people have told us that using this self-help book, just reading this part of our series, has helped them make their dreams turn into reality. So this was 7 years ago. And they wrote then that a woman wanted a high-profile job, and she wanted to be making such and such, and etc. So she sat there starting to imagine that the showcase she would have going to that job, and what she would wear, and what she would be doing, and what would be the benefits, and what and they said, try to conceptualize as much as possible what would be the reality of your dream coming true. This was 7 years ago, 6 years ago. And I'm reading this book, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what dream do I have that I would want to be a reality, right? And I said, well, my long-term goal was, I don't think I'm ready for it now, but my dream was to be the rabbi of a shul that in the same building you have Ashkenazim and Sephardim and Taimanim, and they're all at peace with one another. In a community where you have a lot of people who made Aliyah, who get along with one another, who are open to the different shades of color that Israeli society sometimes makes seem very extreme, but an American perspective says they're not so different. There's a lot of overlap here. We can look at all of it and see the good in all of it, and we don't have, So I'm drawing this picture in my mind, telling myself, should an Orthodox Jew be doing this? Maybe I should be davening about this. Why should I? What did you call it?
Self-affirmation.
Self-affirmation. Why should I be working with self-affirmation? I should go daven about this. And then I said, yeah, but I'm not. It's not my goal for the next 2 to 5 to 7 years. Maybe in 5 or 7 years, I'll be ready for it. I'm not holding there. But I'm willing to experiment with this book. Right? I'm reading the book for entertainment, and I did it. Well, a year later, I find myself with an Orthodox community. And 3 years later, or 2.5 years later, we're under the same roof with Ashkenazim and Sephardim and Taimanim. And we have in our community a lot of people, what? A lot of Alim Chadashim, right? And I have nothing to say. So you could say, well, if you'd pray to the voodoo god of who knows what, that would also work. I don't think that would work. And I don't know if this worked. I can't say this worked. I can say there's a powerful tool when you start thinking and allowing reality to materialize in a certain direction. Meaning part of what happens in self-affirmation is when you visualize and conceptualize where you want to go, so you're also crystallizing in your own mind, how are you going to get there? It's not just the attaché case. You start thinking, hey, I better get up on time in the morning. I better take a course here. What happens to most people is their dreams are amorphous. One day I want to have $1 million. Okay. But if people start conceptualizing, what do I really want? Where do I really want to go? Then they automatically will evolve into how do I get there? And they'll start meeting up with opportunities to make it into reality. They write there in the introduction that they had a goal, I think, of selling by the end of the year 5 million copies of their book. And it didn't seem like a realistic goal. Or no, by a certain number of years, selling a certain million of copies. But once they decided that was their goal, so then doors open up because you're looking for those doors already. Meaning the doors might have existed beforehand, but self-affirmation, part of what happens is you realize what you're looking for, and then you start noticing those opportunities that are around you, which you wouldn't have noticed before. Because this is something which is slightly scientific, which is not spiritual. It's about self-development. And it's a process. Now we have to talk about what prayer is. And then we have to talk about whether they overlap. But first, let's hear Ephraim.
The
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you say it's not spiritual? Like, that's a pretty quick assumption.
I don't see what's spiritual about it. I see it as maybe psychological, and maybe also it's self development. I don't see, you know.
Spirituality has a basis in reality.
I didn't. Okay. I'll explain in a minute. Yes.
We have Yosef not doing what he should with Hadi for the first place. And Hadi did not do what he should. He saw his body's face in front of him and he had a conversation with his mind. You know, he said there is a spiritual basis for his
body. How is that self-affirmation?
It's a conversation with the self, the second side of the self. And bring it down in the name of
if we're going to say that by self-affirmation, we're also including the idea of saying to yourself, what type of person do I want to be? Where do I want to go? So then yes, there's definitely an overlap in spirituality where part of the tshuva process and the growth process, we say, ask yourself, who do you want to be? And I agree with you, Yosef, where when Yosef was tempted with Potiphar's wife, part of what Yosef said to himself was, I'm supposed to be one of the giants of Israel one day. I can't allow myself to do this. So if we're going to include that under the title of self-affirmations, then I agree there is that spiritual overlap. But my point when I meant spiritual versus rational is that I'm talking about what is the moving force. Why does it work? Meaning, when we speak about prayer, we're not saying, you pray to Hashem, but because you became open to all kinds of business ideas, now your business will succeed. No. The point of prayer is, I'm talking to Hashem, and He runs the world, and therefore He may or may not accept my prayer and help my wishes become a reality. Self-affirmation is a totally different process. Self-affirmation revolves around me. It's not that because I talk to God, so God will make something happen. Self-affirmation is something will develop within me. You could say, if I crystallize in my mind.
Hashem is within us. So like you're going within the Hashem, our deepest selves, by doing that.
I will agree that in certain respects, Hashem listens to our thoughts and our desires. And if as what you mean to say is that as in self-affirmation, what's going to happen is I will crystallize what my true wishes are. And Hashem notes what a person's true wishes are. And as such, Hashem might help him succeed in that. Yeah, that I can hear. If it says, Shamo Hashma Tzakato, Hashem says, if you're unkind to the orphan and the widow, and you don't give them back their blanket at night to sleep in, and they cry about you at night, I'm listening. So Hashem's saying, yeah, there are powerful emotions that people have. And in heaven, Hashem says, I'm paying attention to those powerful emotions. Okay, I don't know why you want to add that, but okay.
Does in Shabbat, though, when someone's sick, they don't need to pray, but they can pray in Aramaic because...
That's Shekhinah is on their bed. That's not because their emotion is strong. That's because in that state, Hashem Yisadenu Alech Estevai. I'm saying it's a little different.
Do you mean the difference here lies in the fact that, like, if you see it as being completely dependent on your ability to make the affirmation, then you're kind of saying you're the ultimate deciding factor, not Hashem. But Hashem's always the ultimate deciding factor whether or not the affirmation works.
Again, let's analyze the system. If the way we're going to view self-affirmation is, let's call it scientifically or logically, that through my thought process and through crystallizing my desires and my goals, I will therefore be more open to opening doors and notice the opportunities I have and maximize my potential. So self-affirmation is simply a tool of self-discovery, of focus, of self-growth, and God is not a part of the process. If what you want to say is, through self-affirmation, I have a clearer picture of where I want to go, and as such, my prayers are more meaningful, my wishes are more meaningful, and therefore Hashem might help me attain my goals, okay, so then I will agree that there is an overlap. But I'm viewing it as a completely secular process, self-affirmation. Yes, when an Orthodox Jew or when a believing Jew, a Jew that prays, does self-affirmation, then certainly it will flow into his conversations with his Creator. And then you have that overlap where conversation with his Creator is really prayer, I'm saying. So then, yes, there's that element. Is it possible that when a person does self-affirmations, Hashem decides to help him because this is what's important to him? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Could be. And then there might be that overlap. But I'm trying to view it in a scientific way. And I'm saying, assuming self-affirmation has scientific reasons why it works, so then I would leave that as a scientific process. Might be a very good process. And prayer is not at all about the science. Prayer is about, I'm turning to the one who controls the sciences. I'm turning to him. Now, it's true that he can make me seem nice to the people at the job interview or not. He could make me stand there at the bus stop and the bus just doesn't come and three buses don't come. And I have all the good intentions and I've done all the prep work. But you know what? I'm going to mess up on that job interview. Funny story. Someone offered me to date the daughter of Talmud Chacham, who is a judge on one of the highest courts in the country, and he is he's a very fine Talmud Chacham. They offered me to date his youngest daughter. And I said yes. Now I'm waiting for a response whether he will agree or not. So it just so happens that in the afternoons we used to learn in the same Beit Midrash. We used to learn in the same place. And usually I would sit down in my place to learn, and I'd get up after 6 or 8 hours of studying. I wouldn't get up. And that day after I said yes, in my mind, he was checking me out. So of course, I was going to sit in the same place and learn. I sit down to learn, and a guy walks into the library, and he says, I came here straight from the United States to see you. And I look up, and it's an old childhood friend, and I have to leave the Beis Medrash, and I show him around the yeshiva, and after 20 minutes showing him around and being nice and everything is beautiful. Okay, I showed him around. I sit down to learn again. I sit down to learn. Someone comes in. There's someone who just came to the yeshiva who doesn't speak Hebrew. We need you to translate Hebrew to English. Every 2 minutes that I'd get back to my seat, I did not get 5 minutes of learning the next 6 hours, period. There was nothing I could do. And every one of them was something which I just couldn't say no to. So, okay, so it was one of those days where I couldn't sit straight. Now, you could be sure that that night when I get a phone call from the Shadchan that says, well, they're not interested, I just laughed. I said, okay, you see, Hashem made sure the shirch didn't work. Meaning I was interested and I was for sure affected by the idea that her father's such a tam-tam. She sounded like a decent girl. But I was for sure attracted because of all the things I knew about her father. Okay. Her father, it happens to be, my father was a student of her father when he was in yeshiva. I only knew that later. But, okay, fine. So now, what are you going to say? That's Hashem's hand in making it not work? I choose to see it that way. If it were the reverse, you wanted something. So again, are we dealing with science? Are we dealing with seeing Hashem's hand in our lives? You could look at it and say, if the exact opposite would happen, that day he would show up and every other day I'd leave every 2 minutes. On that day I was fully focused and everything worked out right. So is it self-affirmation? I'm saying there are places where it's hard to define. Do you want to say it's scientific? Do you want to say it's Hashem's hand in helping a certain outcome come out? It's a little bit of an undefined, and the same thing is true with prayer. It's an undefined. But our approach to prayer is that it's not about whether scientifically it should or shouldn't happen. It's about there are things that can or cannot happen. It didn't have to be that on that day all those things happened, so that on that day, every other day, I was able to learn hours straight without breaking my focus. On that day, I didn't get in 10 minutes straight. So did it have to happen that day? Our approach is, in prayer, I'm asking Hashem to help set the cards right so that things will work out the way they should. It could and could not. You know, a friend of mine told me his wife applied for a job, got the job, and then said she has to go. She told them in the interview she was pregnant. She said, they said, we want you right after you give birth, and we're holding the job for you. So she gave birth, and then the amount of time they agreed, she calls up. The first day she was supposed to call, she calls up and says she's ready for the job. and they tell her, you know, that's wonderful. We know we said we'd hold the job, but we decided yesterday we're hiring someone else. Yesterday. A day earlier, she would have been okay. Yesterday, they hired someone else. Had she called a day earlier, she would have had the job. So you could look at that and say, luck. You could look at it and say, when I daven for that luck not to happen, right? It could have happened, it could have not happened. For the same price, they could have decided a day later, and they wanted her. They said she was the best fit for the job, but after they hired someone else, they weren't going to take her. Had they waited one more day to decide, she would have had the job. So do we blame Hashem? When we daven, that we're davening for those little things to happen the way that I'm asking.
So what if, like, she was davening for to get the job, but in the end, it wouldn't have been best for her?
Those are great questions in life. We like to think that whatever Hashem does is for our best, but sometimes Hashem says, had you spoken to me, I would have gotten involved. You didn't talk to me. You left it to yourself. Good luck. Okay, either it worked or it didn't. You talk to me, and I try to, not I try, but sometimes I will make the card stack right. But I'm saying that's the pivotal difference between self-affirmation and prayer. In self-affirmation, there's a certain science. In prayer, there's no science. I'm turning to Hashem to set the cards right. My prayer over here, there's no reason it should affect whether that they're going to accept that girl or not. There's no reason, that there's no logical reason why my davening shachris should affect how many times people disrupt me all afternoon. There's no logical connection. In self-affirmation, there's a logical connection. There's a reason why it should work. In prayer, I'm saying, I'm talking to you not because my prayer now will crystallize to me that I don't want to be disturbed this afternoon, so therefore I won't be disturbed this afternoon. It's irrelevant what I want. If right now a new student came in and he needs help translating stuff for him in English, and I'm the only English speaker in the yeshiva then what difference does it make? All my self-affirmation, I'm going to be fully focused today. I won't break my concentration. I take upon myself, I'm not going to... What difference does it make? I got to go help the guy, right? So that's where there's a marked difference between prayer and self-affirmation. Again, can there be overlap? Yeah. But in general, they're two different things. Yes, sir.
Not help the person, in which case you have a different set of more choices and stay focused. But then you'd have to do this other thing. But my original question was the Gemara and Megillah, which talks about the slightest bit of intention and Hashem makes it go the rest of the way. It's not talking about doctrine, but it's talking about Hashem acting directly on our. What you want to use with self affirmation, with Hashem putting out the receptor, or with Basia taking the emotion and extending the arm however many
I thought the Gemara was saying when you do the maximum you could do, not the minimum. Let's see. We have a Gemara here. You remember where it is, or should I look for it? Okay, you guys can look for it. Here. It's over here. 15B. Okay. Say there.